called, babe?
Harbor Burger.
Harbor Burger. Did we already talk about this? I don't think we did.
Was it a burgery?
Okay, they had milkshakes there.
Call the police. There's been a burgery.
They had these milkshakes there that were exceptional. Like, they were just...
to die for.
Like Five Guys?
No.
Five Get Guys. Out of here.
Although, the Flubber Nutter milkshake, milk.
I thought you said mick shake.
No, Marie introduced me to the strawberry Oreo one.
The fluff nut.
Yep, that one's my favorite.
But there is the peanut butter fluff
Shut
one.
Shut the fluff nut.
Anyways, I'm not talking about Five Guys milkshakes. Oh, yeah. That is on the bottom of the totem pole because this
what?
Milkshake was... One of my favorite childhood ice creams was the strawberry shortcake ice cream. Everybody knows what that is. Oh, man.
Hang on. So I'll show you guys a picture.
Yeah. Bring up that picture. Milkshake. We'll have to post it.
Those are not the same anymore. Those what? Strawberry shortcake.
They're not. No, they're like a little bit more sour. Tangy.
Yes, and they're less crunchy. Like they're just like
a little soggier.
And less shortbread, really.
Yeah. Either way. But anyways, they had this milkshake that was... huge. It was a strawberry shortcake milkshake. Look at that.
Oh, my Lanta.
No one's going to know.
It's beautiful.
Wow. It was so good. It was really good.
Tasted great.
Thanks.
This is my edit.
I got that. I think I rewarded rewarded myself with that after I got like a listing or something. I was like, oh, I'm going to go get myself a milkshake.
It's funny, I don't need to reward myself for anything. I would just have that.
It was at 12 o'clock.
Not as a reward, just as a fat.
Anyways.
So what is it, please? What is it called?
Harbor Burger Shack.
Harbor Burger
Shack. Harbor Burger Burger.
We'll never go there. We don't go to Kittery.
It's worth the drive.
It's pretty
the
good.
The burger
Their fried
was
pickles
phenomenal.
Were amazing.
The burger.
The burger. The burger was phenomenal.
Does anyone know what that reference is from?
Yes.
Panther. Yeah, the Pink Panther.
Yes, from the crowd. Thank you, guy with the mustache.
Funny.
Yeah. So, what's some new updates in your life, guys? We haven't really talked about updates.
Have you been to a place as good as Harbor Burger?
No.
Oh, really? What do you guys do on your dates? Record podcasts?
They've been way more like sporadic losers.
What did we do last time? We did something a little different, didn't we?
We went to Texas Roadhouse. Oh. That's a nice, predictably cheap date.
We went on a hiatus from Texas Roadhouse for a little bit. We
boycotted?
No boycott. We went back. And I man-cotted that menu.
Got the beef.
Yeah, no, it was good. Thank you, food.
Oh, my gosh. It's getting too late.
Perfect. That's funny.
Texas Roadhouse, man. Those rolls never disappoint.
That is true.
They're so good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good. Anyways.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about tonight?
Discipleship.
What? No, that
was last week.
What did I tell you about shoving a microphone in my face?
No, we're talking about the spirit.
I really love having control of the mic.
Holy Spirit.
Ooh. I'll always say something.
Okay, so should we start with like a
scary story?
scary story? No. Ooh, wait, I have a funny story about a time I was scared.
Okay.
I was with Rob. Rob and I had to install lights at... Did we ever talk about this on the podcast? No. We had to install lights.
It's where we work now. It was at Rocky Hill Road.
Yeah, so at Rocky Hill Road, it was a portable setup in the theater all the time. So it was the school at night. It was in the gym. We had to set up all the lighting for the musical that was happening. And we started setting it up. And then we started hearing so many noises all the time of footsteps, of doors, of all this other stuff. Around, not like in the gym, but like down, like all the lights were off downstairs because we were working in the gym. And
it was super late at night. So this is like way past the time. Like we spent the night there, I believe.
We did. We slept under the stage.
Yeah. But it was like setting up for a show. Like we didn't have much time left. And so it was like, I mean, we were like seniors in high school or something like that. And so like we had that weird, it was like this weird zone of freedom where like we could just like do whatever.
We had our license.
Right. We could do whatever we wanted and we really wouldn't get in trouble for it. And so we just decided to spend the night there setting up, getting everything ready. And there were just a few moments where we needed to leave the gym to go get things. And I think this is what you were spooking.
Yeah, so we just kept hearing things. This is what you were spooking about. We kept hearing things that sounded spooky. So we like went and armed ourselves at the gym. So we, you mad at the chair? We haven't listened back to last week to see if the chair squeaked in everyone's ears. But we like armed ourselves. I don't remember what we had. We had like a sledgehammer. And I'm pretty sure we had a lighter and spray paint.
Yeah. Or hairspray. Because it was a show. So there like, could have been hairspray.
We are going to melt your face and smash your teeth in if you scare us. We went like so morbid to protect ourselves.
But we would have been okay.
We would have made it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So either way, that was a spooky time.
People were so afraid of that building.
I do remember when school purchased that building. I remember that was like the hot topic that like that school was haunted. Like there was, because it was like left abandoned. Like there was so much stuff in there from the previous school that it was creepy.
It was
like,
creepy.
I remember we had rehearsals. It was for Beauty and the Beast. No, not Beauty and the Beast. Annie. Must have been Annie. Beauty and the Beast was before that.
Yeah. But Beauty and the Beast was in that building, wasn't it?
No, that was Summersworth, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was Annie. We had Annie at that school.
Yeah. Oh, like the actual show, not rehearsals. Because I think we had some rehearsals of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, maybe. It was for something.
Because we had the set in that gym before we moved it to Summersworth.
The actual bar is still in the modular over at the school, like the one that we all did guest on set piece. Around the set piece.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's still there.
Wow.
That's funny.
So anyway, there, I remember we went upstairs for some reason, like to all the upstairs classrooms. And one of our friends was like, I just saw a demon. In the name of Jesus, you are cast out from this building. You have no authority over me. And I was like, what the crap?
Who was that?
Brie Vespa.
Oh my gosh.
Get him, girl.
I don't think she'd mind me saying
that. No, that's so funny.
I was shocked. I had never witnessed anything like that before in my Calvinist life.
Yeah. That's so funny.
She definitely
funny.
Sounded very multi-ethnic when you said that.
Yeah,
because she did.
That's amazing.
That's really funny.
I do remember having the spooks there, like the beginning spooks.
It happened so fast. That was...
What do you guys do now when you walk into a place or like when you have to go into, do you guys ever get like the spooks when you walk into like a dark building and like, you're just like, what is your go-to? What do you guys do?
I haven't really been in a place like that in a while.
We don't go out much.
No, I mean.
What about when you're like closing up the Dover building ever like super late at night?
Yeah, I just have to like mentally tell myself like, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Except for the homeless people that legitimately break into Dover. I have real fear. Okay. You want to talk about times being scared because people weren't there when you thought they were? I've locked myself in that building while a homeless man yelled at me through the window. Like, there's also just real scary stuff, too.
Reasons to be fearful.
I had to call the police. Like, I don't know what to do. He's just yelling. He's like, I know you're in there. Like, it was.
No, that's terrifying.
It was awful. So, yeah, I'm scared of real people at the Dover building.
Scared of actual humans?
But there, a long time ago in the Dover building, a similar thing. I was working in the office that's now like the finance room, but it used to be just like the catch-all office if you're working on something. And I was making graphics or something I had to do on a computer there. So I was in the room and it was getting to be like 9 o'clock. And I knew my friend Pete was maybe coming to visit because he was out doing something. He's like, oh, I might be near the church. I'll come hang out. Cool. I heard the door open and footsteps walk to the office. And I walked out and said, yo, Pete, and looked out and no one was there. And I just walked out the back door and went home. And the next day, I think it was either Pastor Nate or Chris, they were like, you didn't arm the building. You left the lights on and the computer. I said, yes, I can explain.
Darn right I didn't.
Like any sane human would have, I left.
That's so good.
I didn't even grab my shoes and nothing, Jesus. I just ran.
I didn't even drive home.
Now I'm hoping that Pete will like text you tomorrow.
Or that it was him.
Like, hey, I was just hiding in the bathroom.
Oh, that would be so bad. I've held on to that so much.
So many years of trauma.
Yes, I always feel like my ears do that when I'm in a quiet place alone. I always hear it. It's the worst.
Yeah.
So what do? I leave. I don't even lock the building or arm it. I just leave.
Oh, I see. Well, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's how it works.
You guys?
What?
I love the moment when we all think everyone else has something to say. Sorry. Well, we're still learning.
I'm a singer.
I think we talked about what, I guess, oh, I haven't shared mine, but I don't really... I don't know. I've had, like, I feel like every spooky thing I've dealt with, I've already said on the podcast. Yeah. Like the UFO.
It's always aliens.
It is. Oh, actually, no. When we bought, so take Big that back. I don't know if I actually have told that story on the podcast.
No, I don't know if you have.
Have I?
You've just told me so many times.
The UFO story when I was camping?
No, I feel like you have. But okay. Also, I don't know because
well, she tells you all the time.
It's like my only spooky story.
Did I ever tell you about the time?
Okay.
There were these wild chickens.
What's the?
Oh, that's another
goose. It was a goose.
That's another. No, it wasn't. I thought it was a wild chicken. It was an angry grouse. Okay. That's a separate story. It's not the UFO story.
And there were wolves.
And Marie that's ran a third into a story. Fence into the water.
There are three stories that are hot topic stories that happened at my campground.
You know, reliable before.
Anyways, I will save those stories for another time. And if someone wants to know about those stories, I will share those stories. But I feel like I'm not.
Y'all are disrespecting
me.
Yeah,
I'm done. Okay, I do have one scary story. And it was when I was probably like 12. Actually, it was younger. It was in my old house when I was living with my parents. We all were living in this old Victorian house in Dover. We were renting it. And when we first moved in, my brother was just like, terrified of like the rooms. He was little and it was different. It was like change of environment. You know how kids can be. Well, we went upstairs, me and my siblings, and we went in the closet, and in his closet, there was like a tinier, smaller closet, like a door. It looked like, you know, like it literally looked like a mini closet door in the closet. And we're like, what the heck is that? So we were like, kind of like, there was like a lock on it. So we were like, we can't really get in this. And all of a sudden the lock door rattled. And I was like, we freaked out. We ran downstairs. I was crying until my mom, my dad came upstairs and we were like, something moved that door.
We called it exterminator.
And we hadn't even moved any of our stuff in the house. Like we were just looking at the apartment. I mean, it was a duplex. So it was like it was a 3-bedroom apartment. But anyways, my dad was able to like open the door, and we believe it was like a squirrel or something that was like buried right over there. There was no signs of anything besides in the back, but the whole space behind the wall was filled with like old stuff. Like
I remember this story from a long time ago. All the creepy stuff you found in there.
We found so many creepy things. There was like weird catalog books of like vampire books. There was like another weird like witch thing. Like there were all these old magazines, and then there was like a couple other, I don't remember everything, but it was just like really random and creepy things. And so we got rid of all that stuff. We just prayed as a family over the house. We're like, whatever the heck happened here, it's no more. I rebuke you.
They called Brie Vespa.
No demon has authority in here.
I just pictured her getting out of a cab like The Exorcist.
Anyways, it was terrifying as a kid. And I bet you anything it was a squirrel. But who knows? I mean, it didn't happen
as
after
a child,
that.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, I know. I was literally crying. I was so scared. And I think one of the reasons why my brother never wanted to sleep in that room ever again. He hated that bedroom. I don't blame him because it was in his room that we saw it. But either way, creepy stuff. So that's my story. And I have three other stories that I'm not going to share because...
Yet.
Someone's being stingy.
This time.
No.
I feel like you might have explained some of them.
I don't think I have, but I'm not going to now. It's not deserved for this podcast.
Likes of you.
So yeah, tonight, anyways, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Just things that we've experienced. Oh, Marie's...
Sorry, my voice stopped working.
Oh, so it's okay.
Sound effects weren't great.
Just like the supernatural aspects of the Holy Spirit, I guess, too, is like another thing that we wanted to talk about. So, yeah.
So is the Holy Spirit spooky?
No. I mean, to some. That's the end.
You spoken to him lately?
No. So I guess the question, if we can start it off with a question. But have you ever had an encounter with the Holy Spirit where you were like, is this from the Holy Spirit or is this not from the Holy Spirit?
Have I already mentioned my, I always feel bad, like we always like tiptoe around saying names of our friends, but whenever it's family, I'm always like, bam, this person. Oh, crazy, unhealed.
Why are you like Southern tonight? Did I ever
tell the story of my aunt in a church that I like asked my grandmother, like, what is going on? We were, all right, these guys seem interested enough.
I don't think I've even heard of this story, gosh, babe.
It scarred me. We were in a church like before their wedding, before my aunt and uncle's wedding, because they got married a little older. So I was like, I don't even know, 12, 13, something like that. She was at the front. The church was empty. It wasn't even a church service. Thrashing around. Like, just crazy. And I was like, Meme, what is going on right now?
Wait, where was this?
This was... years ago, I was.
Which aunt was this?
This, you've never met this aunt.
Oh, okay.
She's like thrashing.
Stand back, son. Aunt Nildy's meeting Jesus.
This is one that was temporarily married into the family. If that clears it up, it's no longer a part of the family anymore.
Oh,
thrashing, and I was like, "What is going on?" And she was like, "Oh, she's like being filled with the Holy Spirit." Or something. She like told me that. And I was terrified.
What do you mean thrashing? Show
like,
me.
Throwing herself around, like arms flailing.
Was she by herself?
Yeah. I don't remember anything else happening.
Did they get married?
They did get married. But I don't remember what the context, like I don't remember there being a church service happening. It was just like, this is a thing that happened. I don't know where my family was. It was just me and my meme watching her thrash.
What kind of church party is this?
I don't know, but it was scary. And either way, when you're like, it was the Holy Spirit scary? I thought
that wasn't the question. No, that's what
Marie said. It was the Holy Spirit scary. I think I thought yes, because I thought, is that what it's like? Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being slain in the Spirit. Sounds terrifying.
Well, being thrashed by the Spirit.
I think there was a season or generation at some point, I want to say like early 90s, where that was like a big thing in certain like movements after like the Jesus movement that happened in the 70s and stuff. There was just like a lot of slaining
people who mixed drugs meeting Jesus, and so obviously they thrashed.
Obviously there's certain things like you like we're not to judge, like, but I feel like there are certain situations that you think were forced or manipulated to happen.
What were the fruit and that came from that thrashing?
I was terrified.
I don't know, but yeah, no, I know what you mean, because I remember as a kid too, I would see it in my church often. It was like sometimes it was like weekly, where it was like the same people, and you were just like, what's happening? But anyways, it can be scary if you don't understand what's actually happening. And I think some people tend to be a little dramatic with that kind of thing, but who knows? I mean, again,
I think people make the Holy Spirit spooky. Yeah. If we're going to answer that for real.
Yeah. I guess that's
a fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So losing self-control doesn't
lie. Yeah, I once... Never mind. I've heard stories because obviously, you know, being a part of an Assembly of God church for a long time, visiting other Assemblies of God churches, having like little conversations with other Assemblies of God pastors, like they get to a point where it's so unfiltered, but I still just sit there like jaw dropped, like that's normal for you. And it was literally like, yeah, we went to start service and song one hit and I just fell straight to the ground. I woke up 40 minutes later, walked over to the pulpit like a gorilla. I don't know what that means, but that's what he said.
Walked straight across the holy water pool.
Walked like a gorilla and something else happened. And I was just like, what? I couldn't believe what I didn't know what he said.
All right.
Didn't know what he said. Funny.
So anyways, back to my question. I can't remember my question now.
Is the Holy Spirit scary?
Oh, yeah.
Question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Has there been a time where you've confused the Holy Spirit with something else? Like, do you, like yourself, essentially? Like, what makes you believe that you're following the Holy Spirit versus yourself? Mm. I think that can come down to, I guess I'm answering the
question. Answer the question, would you?
I think ultimately it comes down to, is this truth? Am I going to the word? Am I seeking the word first to align with my decision here? I think there's power in our choices too, but those choices should be dictated by the scripture.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes when we're pulled in one direction and it feels uncertain, I always try and direct it back to the word to figure out if that is going to be the right step to make.
Yeah.
But then there's times though where I feel like, oh, this is what I think is happening. God, I think put this in my life to do this. I'm going to do it. But then it doesn't turn out that way. I'm like, okay, maybe that wasn't from God. And we can easily find ourselves, at least when you're a believer, kind of confused sometimes. And in that discernment and just trying to find wisdom through those things and those decisions we make in whatever that may be.
Yeah, I think, sorry, you go.
I just said yes.
Oh, okay. I think she did say that. Yeah, sorry, rewind the tape. yes. I think that I would answer that question like a little bit of reverse of the way you asked it in the sense of like, I have done things that I thought were the Holy Spirit that turned out not to. So the way you asked this, like, have you ever followed the Holy Spirit and like been nervous for it or like anything else? But it's like, no, but there have been plenty of times where I've like either over-spiritualized an emotion or just made a decision that felt right and claimed the Holy Spirit was in it. But there's been plenty of other times where, like, I knew the Holy Spirit was prompting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's been some pivotal moments in our lives where, and in not just our lives, but even some of our friends' lives where I'm like, that is undeniably the Holy Spirit just being so active in the situation. And those moments are, like, just kind of jaw-dropping. Like, wow, that is God.
Yeah.
You know, undeniably God. And I love those moments because I think those are kind of foundations to what just boosts your faith in God even more. It's like, that verse isn't something about like the testimonies, just like something about raising your faith of the testimonies of the saints or something like that. Where you, when you talk, what is that verse? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Rob?
Nine.
Wow, I really, that wasn't even for the joke. I put the mic there because I was confident in you.
No.
We also sing about that. I'm trying, I have to look it up.
I believe I'll in find you. It.
Either way.
Yeah, I think one thing that I was going to share is like, I think sometimes the prompting of the Holy Spirit can seem scary when it's like directly opposite of what your flesh wants.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? I think it feels
scary.
It feels scary. Again, I hold on so much to that Pastor Nate quote of like, when it's time to change, when the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of change, right? I forget how he words it.
Make it make sense.
But make it make sense. Please help. No, either way. But like, sometimes the Holy Spirit, there's a conviction you feel that feels scary because it's he's trying to prompt you to change something big about yourself that you've even been asking for. So even with me, with my own convictions, my own work through with pornography and temptation, like having to confess that was a really scary Holy Spirit prompt that it was like, you've prayed it enough. We're making this happen, buddy. Like you asked for this to happen. And so I know in my life, like there's a level that the Holy Spirit has in my conviction that he's never quite used as strongly as he has before. And so, you know, Haley and I have heart to heart. It's probably more than even she wants to of me being like, hey, I can't go to sleep until I tell you my heart was in a bad place today. Mm. Did you look at anything? No, my heart was in a bad place today and I feel convicted about it. Mm. And that's like a new thing to like, I normally could ignore those things quite a bit, but it's like, no, I can't actually fall asleep or have a calm night until I just tell you that I'm convicted because my heart was in this space.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's so beautiful.
It's a nice thing. And I thank God for it. I don't like that feeling often. And even within that, if I try and over spiritualize anything, I think the enemy can use that against me as well.
But what's cool about it is that you're not fighting to stop sinning. You're fighting against your heart being in the wrong place. Mm. So now when you wake up, you're like, I don't want my heart to be there.
Yeah.
And so you're like, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to read the Bible and get my heart in the right place so that I don't find myself in the wrong place, which will then in turn lead me, like that heart will lead me to the wrong place.
Right.
So it's cool that you're fighting that heart posture.
Yeah.
I think what's even cooler is that with all of that heart posture, it does come down like from all of like being so proactive and like getting rid of the addiction is that his mind has been renewed where he can actually think clearly of his conscience of what's filtering in his mind. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that can be so disrupted when it's filtered with a bunch of crap, you know, and like to know that like throughout the process of everything that the like what Paul talks about by renewing your mind, it's like incredible that it's evident, you know, about like the practice of having to do this stuff. It does work, like, and it does when you are able to think clearly, like it's incredible how much it affects your heart posture, like. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't mean to bring it there,
but
I think that brings to like to light how dangerous autopilot is.
Yeah.
Because you've like shut down autopilot. Like, you don't allow that anymore. And I think that's so important for Christians.
Which is just that same idea of we're learning it in the practicing the way, but there's this point where he's talking about how we're being, it's not unintentionally. Do you know what the word is? But we're being basically formed where there's no plan. We have nothing to say about the plan, but we're being formed by the culture and everything around us.
Yeah, formed versus transformed.
Yeah. And so you're being formed by it. And then all of a sudden, if you take a step back, realize that, hey, these things are forming the way that I think.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I'm allowing the Spirit of God to form the way that I think. And so therefore, I'm going to intentionally spend time in the Word of God. I'm going to intentionally pray. I'm going to intentionally pray for other people. And like you begin to allow those things, those disciplines to transform your mind instead of allowing just culture and movies and all of this other stuff that goes on around us, politics and all that, to just transform your mind and get you wherever it wants you to go.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did want to bring it back real quick to the Holy Spirit potentially being spooky and all that kind of stuff. I had a different experience when it came to the Holy Spirit. Is I'd never really seen the Holy or felt that the Holy Spirit was spooky. It was always, in all honesty, it's always felt anytime he's used me in some way, it's always felt very, very natural. I don't think I'd ever personally, logically allowed myself to let it be spooky, because I even, so from speaking in tongues to even having a word of knowledge or something that needs to be said in the church during a worship service, which I'd only ever done once or twice, but the speaking in tongues thing, I mean, that experience was, I fought it hard. This was all through Bible college. Like they were just like, they had like these big services and they were like, you need to speak in tongues. And you've all seen those videos where they're like trying to be like, you just got to say, you just got to say whatever comes into your head and like just weird stuff.
The Southern accent comes out again.
Give it that utterance.
Squeeze that utterance. But like, I would just be like, I'm not just going to start yelling gibberish. Like if God's going to do something, he's going to do it. And it ain't going to be me, you know, like, and that was my mindset. And so I dove into it and I allowed the Spirit of God to just like teach me. I would ask for it, but I wouldn't be like only desiring the gift. It would be a desiring of what he has for me. The time I began to speak in tongues was a time where I went to like a prayer, like a dorm, like they in the dorm in the Christian college we were at, like they, the RAs or the floor attendants or whatever would have specific nights of prayer in their rooms. They'd leave the door open and people, whoever wanted to on the floor could come in and pray and all that kind of stuff. And I went in one night and I had found a book in the library and it just kind of basically taught me that it's my voice, but you kind of let the Holy Spirit move your lips and your whatever. Like he's doing that part, but you're giving it voice. It's your voice. And so for me, that was enough for me to be like, all right, you can have my voice, or like I can give you my voice. Do with it what you will, kind of deal. And so that's when something different happened, and I started to feel a prayer inside of me, and the words that I was saying out loud became like the meaning of what I was feeling. Like I was praying hard for the things I was feeling, but different words were coming out in a way. So that's kind of the first time that ever happened, but it felt very natural. It wasn't weird. It wasn't freaky. I wasn't like thrashing around on the floor. I wasn't like nothing like
that. Salivating by the mouth.
No, nothing like that. So it wasn't scary, but it's always been, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman.
He's got something to say. She's holding it back.
So for that moment, for me, it was like the Holy Spirit walked me through that and it helped. And then in the next moment where for the first time I'd ever spoken out, like a word that I felt God had for me in a church service, it was a like worship night at Restoration at one point. And I just felt I'd always thought these moments would have to be something like uber spiritual, where it'd be like eyes rolled back in the head, the Lord speaking through me, and it's like, thus saith the Lord, this is blah, 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 and whatever. But it's not me and I'm not there. But what happened was I was dealing with my own things internally, and God made it heavy on my heart that what I was dealing with was for everybody as well. And so it became when Pastor John Cerise, he got up and said, I feel like somebody has a word from the Lord. My heart began to race. And I began to realize that like, oh, he's talking about me. Because I mean, he then said, well, if your heart's the one that's racing right now, it's you. And I was like, good Lord, it's me.
Good Lord.
So then I, you know, I said what I said, but like what happened, it was just a very natural thing and it wasn't scary. I'll leave it there. It's just always any interaction I've had with the Holy Spirit, I look at it as we were designed to be used by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And so it has never been unnatural for me to be used by the Spirit of God. And that could just be my own experience, but that's just how it's played out for me thus far.
I think a big part of the Holy Spirit is honestly in the mundane as well. It's practicing the fruits. And that there's nothing spooky about that, really. I mean, it's just sometimes it can be spooky with the kids. But, you know, practicing those fruits.
We're all like, what?
And, you know, if you catch my drift.
I hate drifting, actually.
No, but, like, your patients are tested, you know, like, you're...
Because we're doctors.
What?
No one heard you. He said, because we're doctors, your patients.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh my goodness. Right. Hilarious.
Anyways, I think a lot of the fruits are what we're using on a day-to-day basis. And like, that's part of like the Holy Spirit working on us on a daily basis. It's not just these big moments throughout our Christian walk. It's in the daily acts of our life.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
I think there's another avenue that we can shift down to is that sometimes we don't realize that there are areas in our life that we have not surrendered to God, where they can easily be gateways for the other spiritual scary stuff that can really penetrate our life. And if we're not aware to that, because there are demonic things that happen in this world. There are a lot of it. We're in a dark, fallen world. So there are things that people might not understand what's happening, but that is demonic activity happening.
Yeah.
And we have to acknowledge that there are, that is a real thing. And the only way to overcome that is from the goodness of God. And so if we're not careful, and we can surround ourselves with areas, those are gateways to allow the evil stuff to come into our life.
So then is Halloween okay?
Wow.
Of course it is. Burn out. No. Is Halloween okay? Yeah, we posed this question of like maybe titling the podcast, I went to a Halloween party. Am I accidentally pagan now? Because it feels like there's a lot of Christians that react that way. I think, you know, there's, which I think you need, people just need to calm down. So much we need to calm down. And also I think Christians should not avoid things that are evil, but we should reclaim and take over things that are evil. And so I'm pretty pro the whole, like, you know, people always joke like, oh, you know, Christmas wasn't when Jesus was born. That was actually a pagan holiday. Yes. And their tactic was, let's get rid of that. Let's completely outshine this. We don't know when Jesus was born. Let's take over a pagan holiday so they don't celebrate it anymore. And same thing, like if I have, you know, anyway, all these holidays that we reclaim, I think it's important for us to participate in that. So Haley and I, we participate in trick-or-treating in our neighborhood. Why? Because we get to hang out with all of our neighbors that we don't see all the time. And it's
it's like the one event.
It's a great experience.
Year that we're all together.
Our neighbor has a smoker. He smokes meat. She brings chili over. And it's a great time to hang out. Would we be good ministers of the gospel if we were like, no, we don't believe in that hellfire stuff. Like, we're not going to celebrate with you. That's evil. And you should stop. Like, no, that's not going to make sense. I become all things to reach all people. We're dressing up as funny characters and getting candy. You can make up all the religion, all the stupid, crazy stuff you want, but you're not giving yourself into it. So either way, it's just
frustrating. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of crazy people out there that do celebrate Halloween for all of the horrible reasons.
We're not.
And
there's the pieces of like origin story. There's conflict between how Halloween even originated.
Yes.
There's so people much. of the belief that Halloween originated by Christians.
Hallows Eve.
Well, to mock the demonic realm. So children would dress up as demons to say, you have no power over my home. Like, that's what parents would dress their children up. You have no power over my home. You're not scary because our God is big. There's that side. And then there's the side of, I forget what the, starts with an S, but what the holiday was called, where it literally is just Satan worship. And that does certainly happen on Halloween. That's confirmed. But at the same time, it's not like we're posturing ourselves like that. We're not posturing ourselves to satanic worship. We're not sacrificing babies or anything. Like, there's the conflict of that, but also like sorry, my voice doesn't want to work. There's the conflict of that, but then there's also like what are you teaching your children in this? Am I teaching my kids in asking other people for candy to, I don't know, like slit throats. Like, it's just like, why are, like, what, I guess I'm just like trying to pose the question of why are you so up in arms about people trick-or-treating? Because it sounds like it's coming from a spirit of fear of like Christianity is going to get overtaken when, if you open your Bible, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think there's ways we can also be the light during this type of holiday. Like, I don't think people think about that either. Like, I know some Christian families that have, like, they have the candy, they get it already, but they also, like, put a little Bible verse or invite cards to their church or whatever in these little goodie bags. And, like, that's awesome. Like, you know, they're participating in their way that they find is that works for their family. But I grew up in my home where we shut the lights off. We didn't even turn the outside light. Like, that was at the evil day. And like, if anyone knocked on your door, you kicked them out. Like, you just, or you didn't even acknowledge them. And I have a hard time with that mindset, because if someone's knocking on my door, I want to greet them. I want to show them the light. And like,
even if they're dressed like Scream.
Yeah. Like, you know, and I think there's just like, again, every to each their own. but you know, that was kind of what we did. But as I got older, you know, we do our own thing, and, you know, Jeremy just explained it, but every family has their own convictions, and that's okay. But I think it goes back to the heart behind what you're doing. And
does it fall in line? This is an open question. Does it fall in line with the idea that, is it something that's going to cause a brother to stumble? If you're participating in something that they are not held captive by, but like, but there are younger Christians, people that are not as mature, to where they are stuck, or they are, I don't know. The application of this comes from the idea of alcohol or eating food that's sacrificed to pagan gods. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter for me per se, because I believe God has opened it up for all of us. But because this brother is weaker in this area, do I kind of just like, for his sake, out of love for this brother or sister, just be like, hey, you know, like, this isn't, like, we're not shoving it down people's throats to say, you need to celebrate Halloween or else, no. And like things like that. Right. Like,
there's so much gray area, I think.
There. Yeah, I think the problem is that there are some things related to Halloween that we can say is probably inherently bad, like horror movies, yeah. Demonic yeah. movies, right? We think that, but if you're saying the analogy of not wanting to cause someone to stumble, so we stay away from alcohol, and somehow comparing us dressing up in costumes and trick-or-treating with our kids, like, what made me think of it is like, you're turning kombucha into moonshine. Like, you're gonna stay away from anything that has an ounce of alcohol because it'll cause them to stumble. It's like, no, that's kombucha. That's just good for your gut germs that are in there that are gonna work out. Well, no, it has 0.5 alcohol. It's gonna cause them to stumble. It's like, no, that's you're blowing it out of proportion. Right. And to me, dressing up and doing trick-or-treating is so commercialized that you're way elevating it. If it's like, well, it's all about death and murder and horror movies. It's like, some people want to. My kids have never watched a horror movie. And
we teach them, like, the principles behind, like, why we're doing what we're doing. And, like, you know, like, even our kids don't like fear. When they don't acknowledge when they have fear, they don't like it. So they stay away from it. And I think we've done a good job at talking about, like, why we don't need to be fearful.
There's also the discernment piece of, like, yeah. Social media makes that really difficult to, and, like, just technology makes it really difficult to not cause a brother to stumble. Literally anything you do could cause a brother yeah. to stumble. But, like, if there's any exposure, like, or if you expose something about your life, especially as a Christian, it could explode really quickly. But, like, you have to weigh the benefits, kind of like what Haley was talking about. Like, if you're the listener weighing, like, should I go trick-or-treating or not? Or should I go to this Halloween party or not? Like, is the benefit of you accepting an invite or of you opening up your home greater than the risk of someone judging you and falling to a Ouija board because they see your kids dressed up? Like, Does that make sense? Like, you have to discern the risk and the benefit of, like, this might make someone be like, oh man, I wish I could talk to demons. I really don't know what the risk is there, but like, or could I minister to people with this?
Yeah. And then there's also the argument of Christian institutions putting on their own things because I believe our school is putting out like a trunk or treat situation. Yeah. And it's like, why don't we provide a safe, wholesome place where it can be fun and we can make our own thing of it. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the thought that what if as a generation of Christians, we raise our kids to not be afraid of it, to not celebrate it for evil, but instead celebrate it, have fun, look at the, like, dress up as one of your favorite movie characters, this, that, and the other thing, have fun with it. And then eventually that, like, think about this in the far future, but like eventually the evil side of it just dies out and it's just a time where everybody dresses up and hangs out and has fun. You know what I mean? Like, it just, if we can, it's like Mr. Edgar, our boss, says, give him the glacier. It's just this idea of just like, it's this idea of basically like, we just move forward and it doesn't, like, no matter what argument comes up against the truth, you just, all right, I'm just going to keep believing the truth. And eventually the glacier is just going to take over that area of whatever it is, because the truth is the truth and it's going to win out eventually in the long run anyway. So it's just like, I don't know. Just that thought where eventually someday in the far future, Halloween could literally be, hey, everybody's just dressing up and there is no evil to it because Christians have just taken it over, like you said before.
I think I have fear in the other direction, that the surefire way to get a child to rebel is to have a bad reason to avoid it. When you have a bad reason to not do something, I don't know if it happens to you, it happens to me. I want to do it more out of spite because I hate that answer. Like, because I told you so kind of answers.
Or like third graders.
Well, it's if you give them a bad reason. And so if you can give me more about why Halloween should be completely avoided besides the words, it's pagan, then I can listen more, because you're not spitting out the crap that the generation before you spit out. And I need to know your why exactly. Well, here's why. Because my dad loved Halloween. He got possessed by a demon and blah, 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 whatever. All this stuff. It's like, wow, that is like...
I'd steer clear if I were you too.
Like, I want more reason besides it. It could be evil. Like, don't go to church because there are false teachers. So it could be evil. Don't do this because, you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole bunch of reasons why that argument is really weak when it's just, well, because it's pagan. I just think, I'm just tired of Christians sounding really uneducated in what to avoid and why to avoid it.
Yeah, I think some people, just to be devil's advocate, which I tend to do on this podcast, sorry, is there are people who came out of being a Satan worshiper and are now transformed Christians who confirm there are people doing really gruesome, horrible things on Halloween evening. And so I don't blame those people, like we just said, for not celebrating Halloween, because it was something very different
for them. It was real for them.
But at the same time, like, there's the argument of, like, and how would you address the people who are, like, so in participating with their coined holiday? Like, how are you separating yourself from all the spiritual things happening at the same exact time?
I want my children to know the experience the way I want them to know the experience. I think that's a big one for me. You cannot watch anything without knowing Halloween exists, right? Like, the Roku screensaver is all the Nightmare Before Christmas, the nun freaking shirts. The sponsorships that they do is so ridiculous. But
Walmart, Target, everywhere.
I want to teach my kids, like, this is how we do it. So if they're at a friend's house and a Ouija board comes out, they know this is the line. It's not funny anymore. It's not, I'm not dressing up like a princess or a Power Ranger anymore. you're doing something that has crossed the line versus, man, I don't know what this Halloween thing is. My parents just said it's super pagan, but I want to try. And then your friend takes you trick-or-treating and you're like, this isn't pagan. It's so much fun. What else do we do at Halloween? Well, we get a Ouija board out and we do that. I want my kids to know where the line is, and it's at this. And so I'm participating at that because it's a normal dang thing and should be a normal dang thing to hang out with your neighbors. Mm. And we all, as neighbors, decided, let's all walk around and hang out and get candy from each other. Like, we're going to each other's houses. I can't make this sound any more innocent than it is. Like, some of our houses have drinks for the adults at them. Like, because they just know it's just this group
our
of people.
Kids,
it's just us.
Our kids literally get Beanie Babies at this person. Yeah. So, like, it's the best.
Like, so either way, I just want my kids to experience all of those things the way I want them to. So once it hits a point, they're like, oh, this is what I don't like.
Well, and that's what I have a hard problem with when it comes to this stuff. Because it's like, Christians can allow trunk or treat to happen. But what's the difference between a safe neighborhood with what we do? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no difference. Like our, we know where we're at. Some neighborhoods are not like that, which is why
Lord knows some neighborhoods are not like other neighborhoods.
No, and that's why trunk or treat exists. But like, if Christians are like, no, I don't participate in trick or treating, but I'll go to trunk or treat. Okay, so why are you mad at me for going trick or treating when it's the same type of thing? You know what I mean? There's no reason for the difference. Yeah. Like,
I've never heard someone say that.
Oh, I have.
Currently hearing people say
that's wild.
Yeah, because trunk or treat is the Christian way of doing it.
Because cars are holier than houses. You heard it here, folks.
You heard it here first.
T-shirt. Have a good night, y'all.
That's good.
But ultimately, right, to wrap it up, we are Christians that need to be led by the Spirit of God, and we need to be loving toward each other, forgiving, have grace for each other, and we need to be able to get through these things together and on the same side.
Yes.
Well,
and agree to disagree, man. Agree to disagree in some situations. Like, you don't always have to believe, like...
Yeah, don't make it a salvation issue.
Yeah.
Is this a topic where we would end up having to not be able to do church together because your kids celebrate it and my kids don't? Is it that much of an issue? Is
it? I don't know.
All right, y'all.
Guess that's up to them.
Lord bless them.
Anyway.
Good luck, everybody. Hope that was helpful.
Save me a Reese's Pieces peanut butter cup.
Who are you talking to?
Is it over?
Well, y'all don't look at
you. Send them my way.